Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the beginning, it was not so. The same thing also, when it comes to kingship in Israel, we know that in 1 Samuel chapter 8, if you read it on your own because of time, from verse 1, the story, amen, in 1 Samuel, Israel one day rose up against their prophet and told prophet Samuel that he should give them a king. Like the other nation they have been passing, give them king. And everything that Samuel did to convince them not to do that, because God had proposed at that time, oh glory be to God, that he will lead his people by the prophet. By a prophet is to bring them out of Egypt, and by a prophet they were to be established. It is thus said the Lord. God, that is, by inference, God wanted to lead his people by himself directly. For the word of the Lord always comes to the prophet. And God himself wants to be our king. Hey, glory be to God. And he still remains our king. Amen. God did not ordain that he will raise any human being to be king over his people. By himself, he will be the king. But they refused to listen. Hallelujah. They wanted it. And if you read the story, amen, Samuel was there crying because he knows the effect. He knows what will happen. And God came down and said, Samuel, why are you crying here? Stop this, your prayer. It is not you they have rejected. He said, they have rejected me. You reject the prophet of God to that generation, you are rejecting God. But the interesting aspect, if you read that story, is that God now told David, told Samuel, go and tell them, they will have a king, but see how that king will deal with them. He will collect all their children, collect all their daughters, make them his slave, collect everything they have, everything. Were they not paying taxes? Were they not paying everything to the king? Everything you have belongs to the king. He has power over life and death. He can just come today, 1, 2, 3, 4, wake up with a bad side, say, give me 4 heads. They will cut you off. He said, that is the king they will have. That is what he told Samuel. And now he now told Samuel to now go. Go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And not just that, he directed him. If you read the story, I'm paraphrasing that story. Do you know it was God that let even describe Saul to Samuel? And he went and poured oil. Hallelujah. And then anointed Saul to be king over Israel. Under thus said the Lord. Saul, the Lord has chosen you among all to be the king of Israel, and pour oil on him. And you know what? Once that oil was poured, David was revelated enough to say he cannot put his finger against the Lord's anointed. Was Saul anointed by the Lord? Yes, Saul was anointed by the Lord. God gave him that power, appointed him, placed him on the seat of a king. But he was not in God's permissive will. It was what the people, it was in God's permissive will, not his perfect will. It was the desire of the people he was answering. And yet his hand was there. It was not the devil's hand was on that throne, no. But hallelujah, he came again, poured that same oil on David, and God said, David is a man after his heart. And God will select who should be the next king. So God seems to be interested in a kingship. When he has said, they rejected him. They have rejected him. Yet, he's giving them their heart desire. So, that you are prospering does not mean you are in the perfect will of God. You may be prospering under the permissive will of God. Yet, you have rejected God. But when you pray, God will answer you. He's waiting for you at the last day. You can't bend the will of God and go free. Hallelujah. But I say it again. I was sharing with Pastor Francis. I said, hallelujah. Yes, it is God's perfect will to have a king over Israel. But the will is that he will be the king. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. He will be the king. And who is that king? He is the King of Kings. He is Emmanuel. Oh, glory be to God. He is King Jesus. And who is Jesus? Jesus is God in the flesh. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That seat is still reserved for the King, King Jesus. From his birth, prophecy went forth that he shall sit upon the throne of his father, David. Because that throne is reserved for him. Hallelujah. Three offices of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came as a prophet. He is also as a high priest. Hallelujah. He has finished the office of a prophet. Now he's in the office of the high priest of our profession, making intercessions for you and for me at the mercy seat of God. Hallelujah. When he stands up, the office will change. When he will come here to rule as a king, the King of Kings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But before that time came, carnal people wanted to take that seat and see the confusion they have brought to Israel. They have never had peace. But when he whose throne, whose right it is to occupy that seat comes, there will be peace everywhere. Glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We can learn that about the perfect will. And when I'm preaching, you are looking at those characters. Look generally at the condition of the church also today. Praise the Lord. You look at the condition of the church, you will see that there are even, because you will see the denominational system. In the 60s, a prophecy came forth that Ichabod is written against the denomination. Ichabod means the glory has departed. And I believe it. Because you have to understand what the glory of God is before you can know whether that glory is still there or not. The glory of God is not anointing falling down. The glory of God is not anointing. Oh, the glory of God is God's presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The glory of God is God's presence among his people for a purpose. To cause the people to see him, to fear him, to love him, and to keep his commandments. Any glory you see that does not produce the fear of God, any glory you see that does not convert a sinner to a saint, any presence, anything you see in a Christian gathering that does not bring the people to the saving grace of God, it is not the glory of God. It is not. taking who you fall down. Praise the Lord. Somebody sent a clip to me. I forwarded it to some of you. How that is he said he was in London, and a big popular minister in Nigeria came over there, and then all he was, they came in a program they had somewhere in London or UK there. He said, and they gathered, and then all they were doing was die, die by fire, die, die. All they were doing is deliverance, 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 deliverance. And the man that was speaking was crying. He said, how can people come and deceive the people? How can a sinner receive deliverance from any demon when he is not saved? He said he was waiting to see the man make altar call. He didn't make any altar call because he didn't say anything that would make somebody get convicted to even give his life to Christ. Let the enemy fall down, die, 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 die by fire, die, die, die. I don't call any church name, oh. I don't call any church name. May the, now the leader go there, die by fire, die, 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 die by fire. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I say that deceiving the people. Deceiving, deceiving the people. And what are you seeing today? So much anointing in the churches today, especially the prophetic, the discernment. They can discern where you come from. They can discern your house address. They can discern the problem, but they can never discern the sin that the sinner is committing. Why? Ichabod. And yet, is it God working? Please, except you know otherwise, me, on the strength of this revelation, just as God was moving with Israel, with their kings after rejecting him, I see it also as God walking in their midst, but under his permissive will. There's nothing there that we do that can make anybody under that atmosphere to be saved. Why? The glory has departed. Why? They have rejected Jesus, the word. God, the word. They've rejected the word. And they rejected the word, and God gave them what they want. It's what you want. This is what you want. Say yes, I will give you. Woman preacher, you want to be pastor, even though my word is saying no, Abby? Because a woman preacher is not a, it's against the will of God. The Bible forbids a woman to be a pastor. It's in the Bible. But you are disturbing God, disturbing God. Yes. Amen. It is me. I see God telling the angel that works with that woman. The angel is saying, Papa, this woman, she don't see her for Bible, but she still they disturb with them mountain for the past 2 weeks. She never chop for the past 6 months. She chop only once in a day. And Papa, what do we do? And Papa, from above, is telling the angel, Amen. They have rejected my word. So give her her heart desire. And then the voice will speak, Yes, my daughter, I have heard you. The name of your ministry shall be Newe International Church. Hallelujah. I've anointed you, uproot all the shrines in that village. And before she said, Jesus, manifestation is taking place. And she's going to tell you, yesterday as I was praying, the angel of the Lord came and said, my daughter, I will go with you. I will turn the city upside down. I will advertise you to the whole world. Everywhere they will come looking for you. And then she prepares for the crusade. She knocks her high heel shoe. She knocks her cross gutter skirt. She pedicure and pedicure and paint and paint and then and put her scarf like satellite and the latest design. And she comes and I tell you, brothers and sisters, and the Lord who called me. I know my commission. I know my commission. I know my commission. Yes, we know your commission. Is it God that spoke? Yes, it's God that spoke. But under his permissive will. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But like I spoke last week, within a few minutes remaining for me for today, I go talk. Oh, praise the Lord. When we talk about the perfect will of God, it can also be awkward. And that is where we need to listen very well. The perfect will of God can also be awkward. Until you are in the perfect will of God and you are thinking God is not even with you at all. Praise the Lord. Now pick a character in the Bible, Samson. Amen. Judges chapter 14. Let's just see a scripture there. Now in Judges chapter 14. Hallelujah. From verse 1. Let's just pick something here. From verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now first and foremost, a Jew is forbidden from marrying a Philistine. But we all know the reason why God raised Samson. He raised Samson for the sole purpose of destroying the Philistines. Amen. But like the church, hallelujah, we are raised up to shine a light in this dark world. But this same world that we are supposed to have our light and then go and shine it in this dark world, the darkness of the world has covered our light. Samson was raised to defeat the Philistines, but the same people he was raised to defeat ended up defeating him and killing him. But before I come to that, hallelujah, verse 2. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Verse 4 is my emphasis. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So let me break it down. You can read the whole of that story, chapter 14 and chapter 15. But let me break it down. Even Samson himself did not know what was pushing him to go and chase that woman. And all the parents did, you know, they could not convince him. Amen. But unknown to them, it was God that was pushing and pushing for a purpose. And then he went and paid the bride price and did all the traditional something the Philistines asked him to do. Then he went to come back a month or so after to collect his wife. He left. 1 month or so after, he came to now collect his wife. By the time he reached there, they had given the wife to his best man, another Philistine. Where is my wife? The father-in-law said, we thought you are not coming back, so we gave it to your companion. But don't worry, we have another one we can give you. And Samson said, God will judge between me and you people. Hey, read the story. Samson got angry, and that was the purpose. The purpose was to do something that will provoke Samson. If Samson only hear the word of God, go and kill all the Philistines, he may kill with some small, you know, human feeling. But if it is with anger, because it looks like anger on Samson was increasing the anointing. Because anytime they say, Samson, the Philistine is upon you, he will shake himself. Now anger. You know, some of you are stronger when you are angry. Amen. He made sure Samson was angry enough that no going back. He destroyed all their farms. He destroyed everything, caught them, killed thousands of them. And the ministry was fulfilled. So when Samson was going after that woman, was it permissive will or perfect will? It was God's own perfect will. Perfect will. Sometimes we don't even know why Moses was allowed to marry that Ethiopian woman. Because Moses should know better. Moses knew who he was. He knew he was a Jew. And they know that Jews don't intermarry like that. But he married. But unknown to us and to anybody else except God tells you, it was God pushing him, Moses, to marry that woman. The Ethiopian. Why do I say it's God pushing him to marry the Ethiopian woman? The answer is pure and simple. Aaron and Miriam, they started taunting him because he married the Ethiopian woman. And they were saying all manner of things they were saying, using it against him. And the Bible tells us that God was angry and smote Miriam, the sister, with leprosy. And even when Moses was interceding, God still told him that in your culture, if a daughter spit on the father's face, what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to undergo some cleansing purpose. What Miriam was doing to you is synonymous to somebody spitting on the father's face. That tells you that action, God was wholly behind it. Now the question is, why will God allow Moses? You have to know why he has to allow him to marry the Ethiopian before you can truly understand why God was angry. The marriage of Moses and that Ethiopian woman was God's perfect will, because there are some things he allowed his people to do to be prophetic, to send a message, to be a shadow, to be a type of something he wants to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses said that the Lord your God, he told Israel, shall raise a prophet like unto me. There are two exodus in the Bible. The movement of God's people from Egypt to the promised land. It was Moses that God used. He said, a prophet like unto me. And Jesus Christ was that prophecy that was fulfilled. And he also came to move the people from law to grace. Praise the Lord. And if Jesus is a type of Moses, a type of Jesus, a shadow of Jesus, then there will be some similarities in ministry. Now, you discover that Moses married a Gentile wife, contrary to the law. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was speaking of the prophet that will be raised like unto him. That prophet that he told them to listen to was prophet Jesus. And he also came I married a gentle wife. I am one of them. So therefore, Moses marrying Ethiopian was God's perfect will. The same thing that was spoken of concerning Joseph. Joseph was also in Egypt. Joseph, everything you see Joseph going through was God's perfect will. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I say God's perfect will can also be awkward. Here is Joseph. Just because he's spiritual, it means God is with him. His brothers hated him for doing nothing. They sold him. Hallelujah. To the Midianites. The Midianites sold him to the Egyptians. They were selling a spiritual person. And throughout this period, no sin was found in him. Nothing. He didn't commit anything. No, his brethren just hated him. Amen. And for doing nothing, he ended up in the prison. Praise the Lord. On the third day, he resurrected. Glory be to God. From the prison. Hallelujah. He is also given a name that is above every name. You cannot see Pharaoh until you go through Joseph. But see where I am going. While they rejected him, his people rejected Joseph, a gentle nation accepted him. And while accepted among the Gentiles in Egypt, he got an Egyptian wife. Speaking again of the Lord Jesus. So, was Joseph in the perfect will of God when he married that Egyptian? Yes, that was God's perfect will for him. Now, I want to go to a very dangerous area. The same thing also, hallelujah, when we stand to speak generally about God's principle, we will say it as the scripture says it. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbeliever. A Christian man should not marry an unbelieving woman. A Christian woman should not marry the yoke of marriage. You are not to marry an unbeliever as a husband. That is thus said the Lord. But do you know that God can also tell you that Malam from Maiduguri, is your husband. Amen. Ah, but it's an unbeliever, it's an unbeliever. The voice will keep coming. I say, he is your husband. Why? Why? Now, you see, now if you come to me, because I know how God works, if you come to me, after I have preached, that is wrong. Why should you go and marry a Muslim? Why should you go and marry an unbeliever? Why should you? I finish the sermon. You come and meet me in the office and say, Pastor, God told me that I'm Malam. It's my husband. I cry, tired. He still said, now my husband. Pastor, what should I do? I will counsel you in my office. But I also counsel you with a way of escape. I will tell you, if you are sure it is God that spoke to you, go ahead. But me, I will not join you. Because now you God tell. God don't tell me. Because now here, now I know God rich. Since you know him beyond this Bible, you walk with him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I will say, me, I will not join you. And please, don't invite me. I will not come there. Because it will be contrary to what I preach. But deep inside of me, I know that God, I will not excommunicate you from the church. Because I know that man's name may be in the book of life. And God can use your marriage to bring him in. That woman's name may be in the book of life, brother, and God can use you to bring her out of that denomination into the message. But it's not for me now. But I say, that's why I say it's dangerous. Because somebody will come here, hey, pastor, hey, the person where I love, now that Guru Maharaj, now the person where you love, now the person where you love, now make God give you. God can also give you the desire of your heart. So you must know how to balance it. He may be giving you the desire of your heart. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And time will prove why God brought the two of you together, if it is God. Time will also prove that it is not God that brought you together. Because the time will come, you will say, oh, had I known. But which voice talked to me? You this devil. Now, God gave you, it was God that spoke. But he was giving you the desire of your heart. So we have to balance it. We that are counselors, I will tell you, go ahead.